Well, it has been a great weekend, not just for you, but for us. You know, we were like, when we arrived in Cape Town last week, we were here, and then we went to Joburg. That was the first few days with my children. And we arrived in Cape Town, we thought, wow, you know, this is heaven on earth. This is too nice. You guys are spoiled. And I think that was just the beginning of the trip. The highlight of the trip is our fellowship with all of you. You know, it has been such a tremendous experience for me to be spending time with the different leaders from South Africa and the neighboring countries. You know, I was like, wow, this is my geography class. You know, you only heard about the continent of Africa. Then you heard about Namibia. I mean, you could not picture where they are. And this is the way I am so excited. You know, I'm taking note. I bring out my map. And I say, show me where you are. And it's really awesome to see that we get to experience this because we are in the kingdom of God. You know, I would never imagine myself being in a room with multicolors, and we call each other sisters. You know, I just want to, you know, be so grateful that we even have a chance like this. You know, let's take a couple minutes just to thank God for all the blessing we enjoy as women in the kingdom. God, Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you that your spirit is here with us, God. Thank you that we could enjoy all this beyond what words can express, God. Our gratitude. Thank you that we could even call you Father. And we have real blessing, true blessing, and we are called princess in your kingdom, God. Thank you so much. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. Thank you that you even had a vision for us when we were sinful. And now, God, you're willing to use us in your kingdom to share the blessing with all the women around us. God, help us to remember your mission. Help us to live up to your mission, God. Help us to remember that you actually do use women in your mission. Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you for all the brothers and sisters that have worked hard, planning, preparing, making every part of the conference work, God. God, even, you know, for us to see everybody in the fellowship, God, thank you. Thank you for moments like this, God. This is one of the best memories that we'll cherish the rest of our life, God. Help us to stick our heart and our mind and our eyes on you, God, and just really look up to you and stay faithful to the end. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross for all our sins, God. Thank you that you gave us the Bible. You make everything so plain, black and white. And we have a guide to follow in our life. God, thank you for wanting to connect with us. Wanting to lift us up as women, God. Thank you that we have such a great position in your eyes. Thank you for believing in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, this is an interesting time for us because Jesus has made things so different. You know, women on the mission. If we were to understand how in the old time, women's name were not mentioned. You know, women is always come second. You know, they can't read the Torah. They can't do a lot of stuff that men can do. But Jesus, when Jesus came to earth and on his mission to save a lot of women, Jesus break all the rules. You know, I would like us to look at how Jesus started his ministry, and there were a lot of examples that we could look. Let's start from Luke 8. Let's turn to Luke 8, and we'll be reading, some passages. Luke 8, verse 40 to 48. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." You know, I want us to picture this event. You know, everybody was rushing, you know, crushing Jesus. And in the midst of that, there was a very insecure woman. You know that in those times, if you're bleeding, you're considered unclean. And you can't stay near to the public. You're labeled. You know, you are so unclean. And as Jesus was walking, this woman touched him. How would you feel if you were that woman? You'll be feeling very scared, fearful, "Oh, what had I done?" But have we ever thought, why did Jesus actually make it such a big deal? You know, Jesus was not sensitive. Or Jesus has a different plan. If we read in verse 48, we know that Jesus lifted this woman up because of her faith. Sisters, if we can witness that moment, what do we learn? This is the time where men and women are very separated. But Jesus break the rules. Jesus is like, "You know, I'm going to lift her up and make her the heroine of faith. Your faith has healed you." You know, to be a woman in mission, we have to think like Jesus thinks. We have to see things like Jesus sees. Jesus did not look at this woman as unclean, but Jesus looked at this woman as someone to be lifted up because of her faith. He allowed this woman to touch him. He allowed that incident. It happened in seconds. But Jesus used that moment. You know, sisters, we are all disciples in this room. Do we look at moments in our walk every day as a moment of truth where we can actually bless someone, allow them to touch us, and enjoy the blessing in God? You know, I want to share about the Godly Women Ministry in Jakarta. This is the ministry that in the past we would look at it's impossible. This is the ministry that consists of all the grandmas you can find in the church. They are in their late 60s, early 70s, or early 80s. And we recently baptized someone in the early 90s, a grandmother. You know, in the past, we would think that, "Oh, you know, we have to take care of the grandmother because, you know, they are weak and they have a lot of health challenges. We have to be considerate. We have to let them stay at home and enjoy reading the Bible alone." But the past 2 years, God has really opened up our eyes and showed us that, you know, it is not how we look at things, but it is how God looks at things, and we need to get outside of the box. 3 years ago, a group of grandmother, only five of them. And these are the grandmother that have a lot of time because all their kids and grandkids have grown up and they don't have to be home watching them. They have so much vision. They're like, you know, we want to have grandmother's ministry. How do we start? I said, I don't know. Let's start with prayer. So these five sisters, all the grandmas, they got together every week without fail to start praying. They prayed very specifically. They prayed that God, you know, we want more grandmothers. We want to have our own ministry. Wow, I thought, wow, this grandmother, they're really awesome. You know, they are in their mid-60s, but they dream big. And we started trying to support them with all the resources we can find. So we sat down and planned. We find five sisters that are younger, that are willing to sort of help them manage the sound system, bring in the food, the refreshment, print invitation for them, and just be there to be supportive. The five grandmothers met. It started with 3 visitors, 10 visitors. You know, after 3 years, that ministry has grown to about 80 to 100 people. You know, they challenge my faith. They inspire me. And now we lift up this grandma. If you come to Jakarta Church, you'll see rows of grandmas sitting in front, singing, dancing. And the best part of it, they plan their team to play musical instrument. And they were like, oh, you know, during our time, we didn't have piano, we didn't have keyboard, but we have bamboo piano. So, you know, all of us, the younger women, we were like, okay, we'll fundraise for you. When we bought a set of instruments, and they practice every week without fail. You know, I just look at them, oh, you know, they're such sweethearts. You know, some of them are like, oh, you know, I cannot wait for Wednesday, because that's when we practice. And whenever they have we have a special service, all the grandma will want to come first. They want to play music, they want to sing, they want to, you know, they have their own choir. And I was like, wow, you know, it's really awesome to see that they could really enjoy their life. When they turn 70s, 80s, and 90s. And the amazing thing is, during this process, there was a grandmother that, you know, that had to sit on a wheelchair. But because of her spirit, her energy, now she's helping herself to stand without a wheelchair. And I thought, you know, this is like the way Jesus worked with this woman. You know, this woman was casted out from people for 12 years. And I think in the past, we underestimate what a grandmother can do. So this ministry, it's not, we don't call them golden girls. You know, because they don't have golden hairs, they have black hairs. They're Asian. And we were like, you know, what's the best name for them? Godly women. That's a ministry that is the fastest growing in the church. They baptize sisters, older sisters, and, you know, sisters that have to sit. I mean, recently, just last week, they baptized a grandmother in her 90s, and she has to be carried into the water. I appreciate how they study the Bible with all these women. There were some grandma who cannot retain long-term memory. You know, she had diabetic, so she'll fall asleep a lot. So the way we study the Bible, the way the sisters, I mean, it's the grandmas that study the Bible with her. The way they study the Bible with her, they bring a team. You know, there's one that do the verses. There's one that do the cheerleader, you know, to wake her up. And then there's another person that will give her massage. So she's not too tired when she's sitting down. And because she could not read everything, you know, the studies had to be done with pictures. You know, sisters, I think that's how Jesus did his ministry with women. He goes beyond, you know. He get out of the box. Today, I would like to ask all of us, what is holding us back? What is holding us back to grow our faith? What is holding us back to reach out to women? I know it's not easy, especially when, you know, we have to work, we have to take care of young kids, you know, we have to go home and do all the housework. It's not easy. But can we be creative that, like the godly women in Indonesia? You know, I look at them, I was like, wow, you know, you guys are really creative. And it's really awesome to see that they even want to take part in the mission support. You know, when we decided to send 5 mission, we didn't know how we got all the funding. You know, it was never in our budget. But there was a Tante, I call her Tante. I think you understand, it's like auntie. We use the same term. I think we, you know, we speak sometimes the same as African. And Tante Riri was turned 70. And that was 2 years ago when we were sending 5 mission. She was baptized when she was 63. And she said, you know, my life just began. So she took up violin at 63. She took up painting at 63. And when she turned 70, she said, you know, I want to use my talent to glorify God. I said, okay, wow, you know, Tante Riri, you have had a collection of painting. Maybe we could do an exhibition. And her husband is very influential. Her husband was a retired political minister in the cabinet. But now he serves as the senior advisor to the current president. Her husband is also 70 plus. But her husband is very supportive. Her husband's like, okay, you know, I can help you. Let me talk to my friend and we can organize it. Her daughter, who is also a disciple, helped her plan the whole event. And she just brought out all her collection for the last 7 years. Her painting. Framed them up. Put them on sale, and she said, you know, all the proceeds will go to support the mission. I was just so blown away by her faith. You know, she really think outside of the box. You know, she used her talent, she used her connection, and she did all that to glorify God. And we also have another ministry. This is Sisters in their 50s. They're too young to be called a godly woman. You know? They still have a lot of energy too. So we call them precious women. Because they're very precious. You know, they had a lot of ideas. And there was a few sisters that were saying, you know, we don't want to be discouraged because we are single. And we had been dreaming to get married, but amen, God planned differently. We want to glorify God. We want to do things for God. We want to do things for the mission. So they had their small meeting. They had their own meeting. They planned that they will find things to sell on a bazaar. And in about 3 weeks' time, this ministry, a group of them, it was only about 30 people, they were able to fundraise $20,000 for the mission. How did they do that? A lot of them have friends that have products. They're like, you know, do you have any socks that you want to give away? So they get all their free socks, sell them at a price, and go to Singapore to sell them. I mean, a few of them travel back and forth for business. So they will bring their, you know, their luggage full of stuff to sell. And they did this all to support the mission. I'm just so proud of them because they They are willing to get out from their comfort zone. They are willing to do things that's not common. They are willing to get out of the box like Jesus did. You know, Jesus allowed this woman to touch him, which is against the culture. What else can we do for the women's ministry? You know, what can we do as women on the mission? My second point, let's look in the Old Testament. Let's look at Genesis 24. You know, this is the time when Abraham was old and he was looking for a wife for his son. He was looking for a wife for Isaac. And he wants to make sure that Isaac get the wife that God has always planned. You know, they want people from their own tribe. And let's read from Genesis 4, verse 10 to 15. Abraham sent his head servant, Eliezer, to go to Nahor, because that's where Abraham wants Nahor to find a wife for Isaac. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward the evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside a spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Wow. You know, can you imagine someone looking for a wife and they pray this prayer? What is the chance? What is the chance that we'll find someone that will fit that prayer? But let's continue to read. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." Wow, she's putting his bet. Okay, let me try this one. "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hand and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels too." Or ha, you know. I bet at that time Elijah was like, "Yay!" So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camel. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Well, you know, we will keep the story short. At the end of the story, Eliezer was able to bring Rebecca with him. So she was the woman. But what do we learn in this story? I would like us to look closely to Rebecca. You know, this is a woman of God. This is a woman that God has chosen because she fits exactly what Eliezer prayed about. A woman that will offer me drink, and that will also, you know, give water to my camel. You also draw water for the camels. But let us look slowly, how did Rebecca respond to the need? Did Eliezer ask water for the camel? No. Eliezer just said, "You know, please give me a little water." But what did she do? She gave all. You know, I think to be a woman on the mission, this is one attitude that we all need to learn. God gave all of us talents in this room. I was so impressed. I had a breakfast devotional with some sisters and another one with, you know, a group of Bible talk leaders before with Harlem. And I was so impressed. I walked into the home. I said, wow, that's so beautiful. That's such a beautiful drawing. And Lisa said, oh, Betty did that. I was like, whoa, you know, my sister did that. You know, I don't know, and I haven't had a chance to fellowship with every one of us in this room, but I know this room is full of talent. What do we do with our talent? Do we give it all? Do we use it all like Rebecca did? You know, Rebecca only had one jar of water, but she poured all out for Eliezer. You know, sisters, tonight, if we want to be women on a mission, that is the first mile, the first attitude that we can learn from Rebecca. And after that, after she had poured all the water, she quickly emptied it and then ran back. You know, I think I want to give us a little bit of perspective. In those days, they have to go to the well and draw water out. She has to wait for her turn because a lot of people are drawing water. It's okay to feed one man, you know, it's okay, you can have something. But imagine she has to water 10 camels. Do we know how much camel drink? A camel will drink, a thirsty camel will drink 20 to 30 gallons of water each. Not one glass, you know. Not two glass, not 10 glass, but 30 gallons. And Eliezer had 10 camels. So we can do our math. Suppose it takes her 10 minutes to go draw the water and bring it out each time. And you do that for 300 gallons of water. Okay, let's see. For 1 gallon, you need about, to water one camel, you need about 10 minutes. If you run, see, she was running. How many of us will be running for 10 camels? You know, my second point, sisters, to be a woman on the mission, are we willing to go the extra miles? Rebecca not just gave water to Eliezer, she was willing to give extra 2 hours for camels. I say, hello, camels. But you know, sisters, sometimes if we can learn from Rebecca, we should have such attitude. Yes, life is hard. Yes, it's challenging. But when God gave us a chance to serve, do we want to go the extra mile? You know, God, when God put us in a situation, and it's for people, not camels. You know, are we willing to go the extra mile? You know, I'm so proud of a sister. She is single in her 50s. Now she actually serves as an admin staff in the church. I just admire her so much. You know, when you look at her, she doesn't look very impressive, but her heart impresses me. You know, she actually is not physically that strong, but her serving heart just convicts me. Her name is Esther. You know, Esther is a sister of Rebecca. No. Well, she actually imitated Rebecca's faith, Rebecca's attitude. You know, Esther one time was reaching out to a woman that she met on the road when she was walking home. And the woman that she met is actually an orphan.
She studied the Bible, and after a few months, she got baptized. And I had a chance to spend time with this woman that got baptized. I said, you know, I know Esther met you. Can you share, like, what helps you? She said, you know, I've never met someone in my life that loved me like the way Esther did. I said, wow, you know. I want to find out more. What do you mean? Like, what did Esther do? She said, you know, when we are studying the Bible, I'm a stranger to her. But when I send her a message that I'm not well, I'm having a fever, Esther came with some food and visited me in the place I stayed. Early in the morning. Esther came 7 o'clock in the morning, bring her some porridge. You know, that's common, that's our breakfast in Indonesia. Porridge, and say, you know, have this, I'm going to work. Esther said, I wake up this morning and make porridge for you because I know you'll be needing this. You know, that woman was a stranger to Esther. But Esther took the time, put the effort, walked the extra mile, and served her until she's well. If you look at Esther, you may know, wow, you know, this sister she has been serving. But if we know all the details that she has gone through to really help someone, she has the heart of Rebecca. It's just so, you know, when I see Esther every day, now I will meet her every time we have a staff meeting. She recently helped her sister became disciple. This was a sister that used to persecute her. The sister was a government official, and when Esther became disciple, she persecuted her every day, every time they meet, and she would insult Esther. She would say, you know, a lot of nasty things to Esther. 15 years later, this sister had a lot of challenges. And Esther also, like, you know, Vanya, it's so hard because we don't have a good relationship. Now every time she calls me, she only wants money. Because the sister has some financial problem. And she was like, she would be getting advice. And we talked to Esther, you know, Esther, I think it's all right to help her if this is for health, you know, for medical, for all that. But if she's getting money from you to give to other people, you need to draw your boundary. And I think you can tell her now that she's always calling you. Would you like to come to church with me? The sister answered the first time, I said, no. I'm known. You know, I read the Bible. I have my own church. Don't bother. But Esther was like, you know, you are in so much stress. How about if I introduce you to the counselor in my church? Even if you don't want to be a member, I think it's good that you see a counselor. The sister was like, oh, okay, you know, that's new. You don't have to be a member, but you can see my counselor. Do I have to pay? I said, no, you know, our counselor in the church, they will do it for free. So the sister was like, well, you know, I will only meet her once. If I feel that she can help me, I will meet her twice. But if she cannot help me, that's it. And Esther told me, oh, you know, I said, okay, how about you bring your sister to meet with Alice. Alice is very mature. She's my sister-in-law. She's really awesome. And I said, you know, Alice will know how to counsel her, but also, you know, discipline her. And it's really awesome. I said, you know, Esther, as for now, 1 week from the meeting, let's just pray. Pray and fast. Esther fasted for her sister. And that first meeting, the Spirit of God worked. She was so impacted, and she was like, okay, you know, can I study the Bible with you? Only with you. But you know, now Esther's older sister is a disciple. You know, sisters, if we are willing to go look beyond, you know, when someone rejected us, when you invite them to church, they will say no. First time. Do we keep loving them? Do we go the extra mile to serve them? You know, I want to share about the marriage ministry in Jakarta. In the past, usually, when we study the Bible with some people, we'll meet a few times, and if they're stuck, we're like, oh, well, you know, they're not open. But we have learned over the years that God actually taught us about perseverance. The last 4 years, we have actually worked with a lot of couples that take 4 years, 6 years. And there are some, one person that takes 7 years. We laugh with them. We say, you know, you broke the record. But it's really like over the process of taking time with them, we actually learn more about God. You know, there were, now the couple that became disciples, it took them 4 years and 2 years. They are the most perseverant group when they deal with other couples. You know, this is the ministry that grew from 2 couples. Now there are 60 couples. And if you spend time with all of them, they are all very challenging. You know, some couples, they have teenager. So when you are studying the Bible with them, you're not just dealing with them. You're dealing with all their teenagers. And of course, it'll take 4 years. You know, just look beyond the time, look beyond the rejection. If we can imitate what Rebecca did, she ran to feed 10 camels. She ran to draw 300 gallons of water. How far have we run to help someone become disciple? You know, I know all of us have our own challenges. Can we look beyond our challenges and start looking for ways? You know, getting out from our box of looking at things and see the way Jesus sees. And can we imitate Rebecca's attitude? She served Eliezer, she quickly poured it out. If we were in her position, we were waiting so long for this water and somebody wanted, do we have the attitude to quickly pour it out and offer to feed 10 more camels? I think this is a good time. This weekend is a good time for all of us to look through all our friends, the name of the friends that we have reached out to look through all the people that we have shared our faith to. Have we actually, like Rebecca, go the extra miles to share the blessing that we have enjoyed? You know, sisters, I was converted as a student in America. And both of us, like Harlem shared, we had American dream. When we came back to Jakarta, we were still hoping that we'll go back to America. And you heard the story, we purposely make ourselves weak. So we were the last to come to church. We'll sit in the back. When it's announcement time, we quickly leave. So we don't have to fellowship with people. We were the most critical. We would criticize everything in the service. But I thank God because John and Karen persevered with us. John and Karen had to actually leave Indonesia and Singapore, and they had to travel back and forth. But whenever they have a chance, they will find time to spend time with us. And our first meeting was not nice. You know, we sat down, we brought out 10 things that was not right with the service. You know, John, we don't like this, we don't like this, we don't like this. You know, it's embarrassing to talk about it now. It's like, oh, this is bad, this is all your communion. It's like, ugh. And then I said, you know, you're right. Oops. I said, what do you mean? You're right. You know, that's why we need people like you. Okay.
We were like, okay, shut up, you know. Now you're in trouble. You know, since you brought up so many ideas, now you have to do it. But it was really, I think, now, I mean, we are forever indebted to John and Karen because that moment, they believed in us. They are willing to take the time. They are willing to really sacrifice. You know, they would invite us for a nice dinner, and they will talk about different stories that they think that will inspire us. We were not doing well for 6 months. So, you know, those days, there were some records, you know. We will get on to the week list. Week list. But I really appreciate and thank God because when we were going through so much challenges in our marriage, it was a huge adjustment for us to go back. John and Karen took the time to meet with us, follow up with us, counsel our marriage, and our marriage was salvaged. You know, we were so grateful. And over time, we went back to Jakarta in April, and they continued to work with us, persevere with us. And in August, John and Karen was like, oh, you know, you guys, you have dreamed for the ministry. We were like, yeah, you know, when we were counted the cost, they asked us if we have heart for the mission. We do, but not now. You know, we were still very worldly. We were like, yeah, we want to serve in the ministry when we are 40. So give us enough 15 years to build our life. John was, okay, fair enough. But they never gave up on us. They work with us, continue to allow us, you know, allow us to spend time with different people that could inspire us. And then in November, that was when John was like, you know, I want you guys to spend time with this brother. He's Asian. He's ambitious like you. But he loved God. In my heart, so what do you mean? But when Frank came to preach to Jakarta, John had arranged it in such a way where we are invited to leaders' meeting, even though we are weak. John said, it's okay. We're like, John, we're not leaders. It's okay. Just come, you know. No, John, I mean, you know, we don't even disciple anybody. No, I just want you to listen to the message. So we came. And that was the message that changed our life. You know, that was the message. I still remember the 2 points until today. First point is Jesus enough? Second point, is Jesus enough? Third point, I made it up. Enough is enough. But that is the lesson that changed our life. You know, had John and Karen not persevered with us, I don't think we're here today. I think Hallam and I would have broken marriage. We would have been divorced and we will be gone, you know. But because they believe in us, they persevere with us, we have today. You know, I get to enjoy this fellowship. See, sir, sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes when we go through challenges, we don't understand. But let's think like Jesus did. You know, Jesus think outside of the box. Get out from the common rules. You know, do different things. Do new things. And we will see the power of God working. Let's learn from Rebecca. Rebecca did not just take the first mile. She went the extra mile. She persevered to serve people. You know, sisters, to be a woman on the mission, let us remember these two things. Let's not do the common things. Let's get out from the box. And let's go the extra miles. I love you.